Hey, thanks for joining us here at South Reno United Methodist Church, where we love God, love people, and make disciples. If you have any questions or want to know more about us as a church, you can always check us out online by going to southrenoumc.org. With that being said, let's go to this week's lesson.
As we start today, I want to share something that is on my mind of late. Let's call it the two lenses to view life through. The first lens, this is where life happens to you. I'm basically a victim of my circumstances. Things were bad, they're gonna be bad today, they're gonna be bad tomorrow. Life is just what happens, and it's out of my control. That produces a nation of victims. Okay. The second is this, because there is a better way to look at life. In lens two, here, you can make things happen. You know, life isn't just I'm a victim of my circumstances, that it'll never get better. Life can actually be better. I can make things happen now. The first one, you end up being a victim. The second one, if you look at life through that lens, you end up becoming a person with hope. You end up actually having hope. This is a really big deal. The lens you look at life through will determine how your life is, how your spiritual life is, and how your emotional life is. Leo Biscaglia basically put it this way: your life is God's gift to you. What you do with that life is your gift to God. Okay, people sometimes refer to seminary as cemetery. For some, attending one does feel like that at times. For myself, it didn't. And here is just one example why. The last thing I expected to discover in a dingy classroom in the basement of a seminary some years ago was something really huge. It changed the course of my life. The professor went off script that day and woke up our class by asking some urgent questions. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to have an exciting life, if you want to have a life of impact, if you want to have a life where you're going, I love what I did and how I did it, if you want to have a life of maximum impact, he goes, I've got the secret. Write this down. He closed this dramatic statement with this: all that and more will happen if you do one thing, play to your strengths. And then, like a good professor, he emphasized and expanded on it. He says, find out what your spiritual gifts are, then build your entire life around that. Anything else is going to take you down a road to misery and mediocrity. With that one thought, my professor changed the course of my life, and I've never recovered. Today, I want to give you five reasons why this matters. Let's start with two great verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says this: now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be unaware. Okay, danger number one is, I don't even know what my spiritual gifts are. Here is the second danger, 1 Timothy 4:14. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you. He says, you and I have got to be aware of what they are, and then I've got to develop my life, not neglecting them, but using them. Well, what are the benefits of spiritual gifts? Why is discovering and developing your spiritual gift so prevalent in the Bible and something God wants for you? Well, there are five reasons that we're going to discover for why spiritual gifts matters. The first is this: discovering your God-given gifts helps you reach your God-given potential. Acts chapter 13, verse 36 says this: David, King David, served God's purpose in his generation. Now, We're called to serve God's purposes by discovering how He's wired us and then using those to make things change. Try a quick experiment. Take a pen or a pencil and write out your name. Here's mine. Now switch hands and try to write it again. Here's what's interesting. If you don't use your God-given gifts, it will be like spending your entire life writing with the wrong hand. Discovering your spiritual gifts helps you discover your purpose in life. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we could do good things that He planned for us long ago. A little later, Paul reminded the Ephesians to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Surveys reveal that most workers in the U.S. are in the wrong job. When you have discovered and unleashed God's gifts in your life, you are able to answer questions like, what is God's will for my life? What should I do with my life? What type of job or career should I have? I certainly don't want to get to the end of my life and realize that I put my ladder on the wrong wall. And I don't think you do either. John Wesley played to his strengths and discovered his purpose in life. And we are here as a result. He wrote, I want the whole Christ for my Savior, the whole Bible for my book, the whole church for my fellowship, and the whole world for my mission field. Discovering your God-given gifts helps free you from insecurity, inferiority. The writer of 1 Peter reminds us that God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Paul teaches that there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. Here's the point. God made this and this and this, and God made this and this and this, and God made this. The same God, the same designer, the same God also made you and has given you gifts. And when that dawns on you, it will change on how you look at God and how you look at yourself and how you look at what you can make happen. A few years ago, a revival took place. It was one of those big outdoor tent revivals. Two 14-year-old boys heard all this music and noise, so the boys walked up and then realized, it's a church service. And so they spun around to leave. And an usher who saw them as these boys were walking away, this usher chased them down. And he goes, hey guys, where are you going? And they went, well, we didn't really see any seats. And the guy goes, hey, wait a minute, I'm an usher. I'll help you find some seats. Well, we're really not into this kind of stuff. The usher said, you guys really actually might like this more than you think. It's pretty cool. You should at least come and check it out. So the usher sort of walks these boys back and helps them find a seat, and the service goes on. The speaker that night had a really interesting name. His name was Mordecai Ham. Okay, now, what's interesting is this. Mordecai Ham spoke that night. Mordecai Ham never had a book deal, never had a TV show, and as far as I know, nobody's named their kid Mordecai Ham. But you know what? This usher brings these two kids to hear Mordecai Ham. And at the end of it, both of the boys walk to the front of the tent and they give their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. And what happens is this. One of those boys just happened to be a young man named Billy Graham. And the other teenager was his lifelong friend, Grady Wilson. And together, they launch a thing called Youth for Christ International. And then they launched the Billy Graham Association, through which Billy Graham has spoken to more people than any human being in history. More people became Christians because of Billy Graham than any human being that ever lived. And what's interesting is this. The world impact of those two skinny teenagers happened all because of one guy who almost nobody's ever heard of, and no one knows his name. All that happened because of the nameless usher. You never know what God is going to use to change a life. The first guy I'm looking up when I get to heaven is that usher. What is God waiting to do through you? Well, the next we discover your God-given gifts, it helps you motivate and be encouraged. Paul challenges us in Galatians, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if you don't give up. Nothing is more draining than doing something you're not wired to do. We are motivated and encouraged when we are doing what we're supposed to be doing, and we're not when we're not. There's a reason I'm not in accounting or architecture or art or aviation, and that's only for starters brought to you by the letter A. Nothing feels more draining than trying to do what God has not wired you to do. Life becomes a grind when you try to live apart from the gifts God's given you. When you are doing what God has wired you to do, you get energy, and that fuels our last reason to discover your spiritual gifts. Discovering your God-given gifts is by far the best way to change the world. Jesus reminds us that when you produce much fruit, you are true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. God says to you and to me, I would like to do a great work in the world, and to accomplish that, I plan to use the gifts I placed inside you. God wants to get to work through the gifts He has entrusted to you. If you see something in your community that needs fixing or an improvement, could it be that God is leading you to get busy in exactly that place by using your gifts? When men and women discover and use their God-given gifts, they get freed up to be themselves, which releases resources into the world. When you discover and use your gifts, you find yourself able to affirm others instead of chopping them down, which frees up more resources. And regularly using your gifts motivates you towards eager sacrifice, which frees up even more resources to do the work of God that wants to accomplish in the world. Now that's life-changing, you bet. That's world-changing, absolutely. Every Christian, without exception, has at least one gift. Paul put it this way, a spiritual gift is given to each one of us so we can help one another. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to say, I am gifted. We don't get to choose, nor do we get all of the gifts. Paul continues and reminds us, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Well, what do I need to do, you might ask? Well, there are four steps to find and use your gifts. The first, you have to decide. You will never possess what you are unwilling to pursue. Decide that discovering your God-given gifts is worth pursuing. Take the time to get a grip on the gifts God has given you, and it will change the course of your life and the impact of your life, no matter what stage of life you're at. take a spiritual gifts assessment. You can text the word gifts to 775-204-1181, or you can go to the church website at southrenoumc.info and look for the spiritual gifts assessment card. Take the assessment and then go to step two, discover. Make a commitment to read and examine the four major passages in the Bible that discuss God's given gifts. They're on the screen. And then go to step three, develop. You get good at something only through practice. You develop your gifts by using your gifts. The more you develop them, the better you get at using them, and the more fulfilled and effective you become. Keep exploring and using the gifts you discover. And then the last step, deploy. Take your gifts, put them into service, and let God do whatever He wants to do through them. Do not approach your gifts with a preconceived notion of how God will use them. Never forget, God gifted you with them. Your job and my job is to deploy them wherever God puts you. Those four steps, decide, discover, develop, deploy, will lead you to some of the most exciting places imaginable. If you have questions or need assistance in this process, please reach out to me by email or call the church office at 775-851-1181, and I'll follow up with you. No matter what, the spark to taking these four steps is the belief that God has gifted you, even when you're not sure what those gifts are or whether they even exist. Back in 1915, Ira Yates owned a dry goods store in Rankin, Texas, and that did about $5,000 worth of business each month. A Pecos County rancher named Thomas Hickok noted the store's moderate success and proposed that Yates trade the store for his 16,640-acre river ranch way out in the northern Pecos County. A friend who once owned the property warned Yates against the trade. He said, "Even buffalo know better than to cross the Pecos. A crow won't fly over it, and it's not worth the taxes." Well, Yates made the trade anyway. Years later, Yates's granddaughter explained that while her grandfather didn't know beans about groceries, he did know ranching, and he wanted to get his hands on this large parcel of land. For a very long decade, Ira and his wife, Ann, made a hardscrabble living off the desolate ranch. Desperate for a way to pay mounting debts, Ira approached the Transcontinental Oil Company in San Angelo about drilling some test wells on his property. Experts had declared that no oil could be found west of the Pecos River, but on the off chance of finding something, the company drilled four wells. On October 28, 1926, Yates became an instant millionaire. One of the wells produced a gusher that sent crude oil hundreds of feet into the air, just like in the movies. Well, the first five wells together produced more than 9,000 barrels of crude a day, more than could be stored or moved. Oil production peaked in 1929 when the Yates oil field shipped out 41 million barrels. The worthless ranch produced its 1 billionth barrel in 1985. And today, oil continues to flow from the Yates oil field, one of the largest reserves in the world. For more than a decade, Ira and Ann Yates labored to scratch out a meager existence, constantly worrying about how to pay their bills, all because they had no idea what lay just underneath their feet. God says, in essence, "I created you. I have put some priceless things deep inside you. Take the time to discover them and get them out, and they will make all the difference in your future, to those around you and to the world. The best feeling in the world comes from using our gifts for God's purposes. The biggest thrill in the universe is to be used by God for something that He wants to accomplish. Talk about raising your hope level. Let's pray. God, I ask and I pray that You would reveal to us the gifts You have given us. God, that You would give us the courage to use those gifts to make a difference, first in the church, God, and then in the world. And now we go in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit to live those gifts out. Go in peace. Amen.
As a church, it is our honor to play a small part in all that God is doing in and through your life. And we would like to continue with you on that journey. To find out what your next step could be in your relationship with Christ, all you have to do is go to southrenoumc.org/next. After all, here at South Reno, we are all helping you become the person God created you to be.